We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is Apostle Ricky Randolph of the Uplifting Faith Ministries, located at 1020 Princess Street in the city of Wilmington, North Carolina. What we want to do is just share with you a Bible study that we did on four consecutive Wednesdays. And the topic of the Bible study is the threefold nature of man. The threefold nature of man. Looking at the website, you should be able to get a blank copy of that particular Bible study. And with it, you will see the topic, the threefold nature of man, by myself. And you will see the different outline as the purpose of the study. Letter A says spirit, letter B says soul, letter C says body, etc., etc. So once you get your copy, you can come back to this recording and scribble down the notes that we did give our congregation at that time. Now, first of all, you will notice that the scripture at the top is 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and it is part of that, just to get you to understand the direction that we're going. And it reads, "And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." As you can see, there the threefold nature of man is mentioned, spirit, soul, and body, in the particular order that is, we'll say, in the creation order, so that we can understand why it's that way, spirit, soul, and body. Now, under the purpose of this study, there are three things to write down. Now, I may be talking a little fast because we're limited as far as our time with this particular recording, so that it may be compacted to fit on the website. So we're going to kind of move fast. So if you miss a point, you can just stop it and rewind it and start it back over again. The purpose of this study is, number one, to understand man's God-given nature. That's what you write on the first line. To understand man's God-given nature. Number two, the second reason for the threefold nature of man study is to distinguish the purpose of each part of us. To distinguish the purpose of each part of us. And number three is to use this knowledge for growth and wisdom. So let me repeat all three of them again. Number one, to understand man's God-given nature. Number two, to distinguish the purpose of each part of us. And number three, to use this knowledge for growth and wisdom. In short, what we're going to do is understand, first of all, that we are spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. And to understand how these three particular portions of us work either in unison or in harmony or in disunity and disharmony, one of the things that we can see in our life is that when there is a lot of chaos and confusion, it is probably because the component of the soul is trying to move in a separate way than the purpose of the Spirit of God and the spirit of the person. And so there is disharmony or disunity. There is a fight on the inside. The mind, will, and emotion, which is the soul, is fighting against the spirit man, which is you, really, on the inside. Getting instruction from God is trying to get the life of the individual in the right direction. And of course, the body follows the instruction or the loudest voice, whether it is the spirit or the soul. So as you can see, there's many things to consider. But what we want to do is understand, and looking at the threefold nature of man, how to get these three components in harmony. That's our full purpose. Now, we're going to, first of all, look at spirit. If you will see on your paper, for letter A, it says spirit. And we're looking at Luke chapter 9:55. Now, you can turn in your Bible to that, and I won't read it. I'll just let you generally know what it's talking about. Luke 9:55 is when Jesus say to the disciple, "You know not what manner of spirit you are," because they wanted to call down fire on those who would not listen. And Jesus said, "You know not manner of spirit you are." See, man is a spirit being. He was created spirit in the beginning in the book of Genesis. He was given a soul in chapter 2 and a body in chapter 2. But in chapter 1, he was spirit at first. From the mind of God, from the very spirit of God, released into the atmosphere by the word of God, who spoke man out of himself. He spoke to himself when man was created. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, Genesis 1:28. So first of all, in the first line, we're going to write down that the Hebrew word is ruah, R-U-A-H, ruah. In Greek, it's pneuma, which means, which is P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma, meaning wind. Pneuma is where we get the word pneumonia. And you know, pneumonia is simply, in its Greek understanding, pneumonia is the shortening of the wind, making it difficult to breathe. And when you have pneumonia, you're weak and your lungs are congested. Another thing I need to note before we go through the other things of spirit, what we're going to do with these words, especially for spirit, soul, and body, is give you the Hebrew, which will be the Old Testament word, and then we're going to give you the Greek, which is the New Testament word. So when you see spirit in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is going to be ruah. When you see spirit in the New Testament, the word is going to be pneuma, because they were written in two different languages, but they both mean the same thing, meaning wind. Number two for spirit, it is the part of us that differs from animals. It is the part of us that differs from animals. The word speaks of us, of us having a spirit and a soul. And it also speaks of animals having a soul and a body. But animals don't have a spirit, because spirit comes from the heart of God. Spirit is the power that makes us different from the animals. So for number two, write that down. It is the part of us that differs from animals. Number three, it is the most important part of us. When a person is not saved, they have a dead spirit. And when the person accepts Christ, becomes born again, is regenerated by the Holy Spirit, then that part of us comes alive, and we call it the new birth. We are now living. The spirit man is living and is able to receive and to communicate with the Almighty God that created it. So number three, it is the most important part of us. You can have a soul and a body, but it profits you nothing if your spirit man is not made new, if you haven't been born again. In fact, the book of Revelation lets us know that when we're not born again, we're going to have our part in the second death. We're going to be in the second death, which is being thrown in the lake of fire. So we don't want that, but that's another Bible study. We'll move on. Number four under spirit, it is the innermost part of us that communicates with God. It is the innermost part of us that communicates with God. Or, in other words, it is our sixth sense. It's something about the spirit man on the inside. You know, you're going down the road, and all of a sudden you just feel this urge. I don't need to go this way. I need to turn for some reason. And a lot of us use the word, something told me. Or I just felt like I needed to do that. That's spirit. That's the spirit part of you speaking. Another thing I need to know before we go on to the next section is very often in the Old Testament and the New, you'll see the word heart. And very often it's used interchangeably with spirit. So heart can also mean spirit when you see it in the Old and New Testament. Let's move on to letter B. Letter B is soul. And you'll see Genesis 2 and 7. And the Bible briefly states that God breathed the breath, which is ruah, into man, to the body of man, and he became a living soul. And number one for a soul is, in Hebrew, the word is nephesh. N-A-P-H-A-S-H, nephesh. It means a breathing creature. It means appetite, desire. In Greek, number two, write this down. Number two, under soul, in Greek, it is psuche, P-S-U-C-H-E, or psyche, P-S-Y-C-H-E. That's what you're going to see in the New Testament, the Greek. And it means mind, will, emotions, intellect. Okay, so in review, the Hebrew is nephesh, N-A-P-H-A-S-H, meaning a breathing creature. Number two, in Greek, it is psyche or psuche, P-S-U-C-H-E, P-S-Y-C-H-E, which means mind, will, and emotions, and intellect. Now, you'll notice that with psyche, that's where we get the study of psychology. It's the study of the mind. So when we're talking the soul, we're talking about the inner part of us. Number three, under soul, the word can also mean life. You'll see that in Leviticus 17:11, or it can mean myself, which is Jeremiah 26:19. So write that down for number three. The word can also mean life. Number four, soul can also mean appetite. That's Psalms 107, verse 9, Proverbs, the 16th chapter, verse 24. It can also mean desire. Soul can mean appetite or desire. And like I said, if we're saying these really fast, you can stop the tape, go back, and get your notes. But we just wanted to quickly give this to you. Now we're on the third section, which is body, or letter C. Now, so far we've talked about letter A, spirit, which is ruah, R-U-A-H, or meaning wind. We've talked about soul, which is nephesh, N-A-P-H-A-S-H, meaning a breathing creature. And now we're going to talk about the body, letter C. You will see there is Romans 12:1. And of course it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. That's it. That's your outer shell, your body, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. In Hebrew, which is the Old Testament, it comes from the word beten, B-E-T-E-N, beten, or also put down this word. I got several words, but I only want you to write one or two. Beten, B-E-T-E-N, or yanek, Y-A-N-E-K. It means the physical body. That's your head, your shoulders, the physical body, muscles, fingers, toes, the digestive system, the endocrine system, the respiratory system, all the things that makes up the body. That's in Hebrew, beten. In Greek, the word is soma, S-O-M-A. That's number two. In Greek, soma, the body as a whole. So number one, in Hebrew, beten, it means physical body. Number two, in Greek, it is soma, the body as a whole. So, you know, in Hebrew, we're talking Old Testament. In Greek, we're talking new. Number three, the body is the house for the spirit and the soul. Now, the spirit, which is unseen, and the part that is released from the very presence of God, because God is spirit, and the way that we communicate to him is through the spirit. But the spirit, it does not have a particular place to be. It can be all over the place. The soul and the spirit are interconnected together, which we'll talk about in just a minute, are interconnected together, but they still have to have some place to abide. So we need the body. The body contains that. It's the house. It's the house for the spirit and the soul. So actually what you are spirit, soul, living inside of this house. You're looking out of your eyes, you're looking out the windows of this house that God has given you, whether it's black, white, Chinese, Japanese, whatever, tall, short, fat, skinny, whatever your body is, that's what you have. And that's where you actually live, your spirit man. And one day there will be a separation where the spirit and the soul that are together will separate from the body. We call that natural death. And folks will come to your funeral and the body will be in the casket, but you, which you are spirit with the soul, will be gone on. All right, now we're going to go to putting it all together. Now, before we do that, before we go to putting it all together, I do want to make this note on the back of your paper, or on the second page for some of you, there's the word notes down a middle way of the page. And there you can put some extra things if you so desire. Some things you might have heard me say that I didn't tell you to write down, but some things you may want to scribble down. One thing I do want you to write in the notes is that there are five gates. Now, here's what I want you to write on the notes. First, I want you to write, there's the eye gate. Number one, the eye gate, what we see. Number two, the ear gate, what we hear. Number three, the skin gate, what we feel. Number four, the nose gate, what we smell. And number five, the mouth gate, what we taste. So put that in your notes there on the back. So we have five senses. We call them the five senses. And the body is that particular house that has the openings to receive information from the outside so that the spirit and soul man will have access to its environment. In other words, the only way the spirit and the soul can make an assessment as to what needs to be done, it has to get the information from the outside of the house. So it looks through the eyes, through the eye gate. It hears information through the ear gate. It speaks out what it desires through the mouth gate. It feels the touch of another human being or the hotness of a stove or the coldness of ice with the skin gate. And of course, with the nose, it smells the good smell of the good cooking food, perfume, or maybe even bad smell. And it sends information to the mind or the soul. And the spirit man receives all of this information, but the spirit man can only really perceive it through spiritual language, which we call the Word of God. So as we get the information from the outside, we take it in, put it into our mind, and use this knowledge into our soul or mind or will, and in our emotions and in our intellect and our psychosis and all of that. But then the spirit man, being fed by the Word of God, gets the information through the eye gate, through the ear gate, through the mouth gate, and comes into the spirit man. So the word drops inside of the spirit to give instruction as to how to handle the information that is in the soul. So now that is somewhat what we're going to, is how things work. And that is why we're doing this study. Now, under putting it all together, Hebrews 4:12 lets us know that the word of God is sharp, quick, is quick, is sharp. Quick means alive, is able to pierce even to the dividing asunder of spirit, soul, and body, discerning of the thoughts of the heart, which is thoughts of the heart, which is the soul. So write this down under bringing it all together. Spiritual death is how we began, with a body and soul seeking meaning. So we're spiritually dead, but we have a soul and inside of the body, but we need to be born again. Number two, spiritual life happens when the resurrection power of Jesus quickens the spirit man, causing the soul to desire the things of God. Now, that's a long sentence to put it all together, but that's what it's all about. And let me say it one more time. Spiritual life happens when the resurrection power of Jesus quickens the spirit man, causing the soul to desire the things of God. In other words, we are not born again until the resurrection power of Jesus comes into our dead spirit man, brings it to life. We're then born again. We now have a new desire, and it converts the mind, which is the soul, so that we will desire to do the things of God. Now, we've been born in sin, shaping in iniquity. So therefore, the sin curse is still somewhat attached in the area between the body and the soul. So we still have to deal with the sin, the desires, and submit it to the power of Almighty God through the Spirit. And we don't want to get too complicated. We want to stay where you can follow what we're talking, because we're talking three different entities, but they are to work together. Now, on the next page, this is how we're going to get victory in our life. First of all, the spirit man. Number one, praying in the spirit. If you look at Jude 20, It's only one chapter of Jude, and that's verse 20 that we read, and it tells us to pray in the Spirit, or praying in the Spirit, building ourselves up. So three things to write down on the praying in the Spirit. We're going to hurry because we're almost at that time limit. Number one, God's Spirit calls to our spirit for fellowship. God's Spirit calls to our spirit for fellowship. That's Psalms 42, verse 7. Number two, our souls are sometimes incapable of understanding the call. See, our souls may not understand, but the Spirit hears God. All right. Number three, the Spirit prays for and with the Spirit of God. That's capital S. The Spirit of God prays for and with our spirit to get the answer. So whatever the answer is in our life has to first come through the spirit realm. So the Spirit of God prays with our spirit as born again children of God, prays with our spirit. And we know that's in Romans 8 and 29. For we know not how to pray for as we ought. 29:30. And so the Spirit prays with our spirit, because now we're born again, we can fellowship with God. And as Psalms 42 and verse 7 says, deep calleth unto deep. God's Spirit calls our spirit, and that's the order. We start in the spirit realm with our spirit. Amen. The nephesh, the ruah. Amen. Number two, the importance of the soul. Write down Mark chapter 8, verse 36, because Jesus says, what does it profit a man that he gain the whole world and lose his soul? That's it. And very often in the reference to soul, it also has the idea of spirit being along with it. So spirit and soul sometimes in the scripture are used interchangeably. So when you hear soul, it also refers to the spirit man with the soul, because the two come together, even though they may be separate entities for doctrinal purposes, but they do come together. All right, number one, the soul guides the body and is subject to both the spirit and the body. Because sometimes the body tells the soul what to do. Sometimes the spirit tells the soul. Soul's in the middle. All right. Number two, the soul is converted at the new birth of the spirit. So the new birth, the spirit comes alive, but the soul has to be converted. Converted simply means to be changed in nature and in will. The will, our will has to be changed. Our mind has to be changed. Ephesians 4:23, you change by the renewing of your mind. So we're renewed in our soul. That's what salvation is all about. Because first of all, the spirit man has come alive by the power of the Lord Jesus. And then the soul is converted to the will of God by the thinking and understanding of what the word is and what the spirit requires. Number three, under the importance of soul, the soul has to be continually fed the word to discern godly direction. See, a spirit man is waiting to hear through the soul what the directions of God is. He feels the urging and pull of the spirit of God. The spirit man feels the urging and pulling. But the soul's job is to translate that into information so that the mind is clear as to what we're supposed to be doing, so that we'll have a direction to go. And so we hear the actual voice of God in our mind, and it sounds like us. It does. God speaks through our conscience, and we get the word in through our eye gate, our ear gate. We take the word in through preaching, through reading the word, through studying the word, through teaching the word. We take it in. It goes into our soul. It is discerned, and then that word drops inside of our spirit man, and we are strengthened, we are renewed. Then we make the body begins to be subject to what was just read, once the mind is converted and convinced of the truth. Amen. Now, number three says the third man, and we're quickly finishing. The third man, or godly direction, or the body. 1 John 2 and 16. All right. First thing to write down, the third man or the body desires anything that makes it feel good. The body desires anything that makes it feel good. Anything make it feel good. Sleep, food, physical relationship, whatever makes it feel good. That's what the body desires. But see, we have to have discernment as to what is right and what is wrong. And the only way to do that is a spirit man has to be born again. And the soul has to be converted by what the word says. Amen. Number two, the third man or the body does not care about consequences. Your body don't care. Your body don't even think about no consequences. I'm going to eat this dozen donuts because I'm hungry. It doesn't think about the consequences of adding all that sugar, making your sugar go up, taking your appetite away, eating food that's not good for you, putting your health at risk. It doesn't care about that. It just likes the taste of the donut, or especially a hot donut from a place like Krispy Kreme. It's just thinking about what it wants right now. So that's why we need the soul, which is the mind, will, emotion, and intellect, to intervene so that the body doesn't take off and do what it wants to do, and we don't get into all types of sexual immorality or physical immorality where we literally kill this body before it's time. Number three, and we're finishing up, the third man or the body works with the soul to achieve its desire. So when the body wants something, it convinces the mind or the soul, and there's a like a salesman, a car salesman. The body wants something, it sees it, but then the mind begins to think, now this isn't not good. The spirit man says, God would not have you have this, but the body is going to respond to the voice that's the strongest. So here we have the components of the soul trying to argue. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that soul is the best salesman in the world. It will sell you your soul is the best salesman. It will sell you any ideal that it wants. It will sell it to you. And before you know it, you'll take the lie, hook, line, and sinker. Oh, it's nothing wrong with me doing this. Or oh, it's nothing wrong with me eating this. Or oh, it's nothing wrong with me being with this woman. It's nothing wrong with being with this man or being with this one or that. It's nothing wrong with that. Everybody else is doing it. And before you know it, the body and the soul working in cahoots begin to get into trouble. But the Spirit of God speaks into the spirit man so that the spirit man has an urgency and a conviction and a direction. And the soul begins to hear now that the spirit is dropping into your soul what it needs to do, so that the spirit man is getting louder. So we urge you today, as we close, we pray that the information we've given you, you may meditate on, look over it in days to come. But be assured that a person who is mature in Christ is one who is, first of all, born again in Christ and has his mind or his soul, which is his soul, in total harmony with what the word says, to be obedient, to be completely the will of the individual, which is also in the soul, is made up to say, I'm going to do it God's way, regardless of how that sin nature tries to fight against what the mind or the soul is saying. The spirit man is leading the soul man to obey the word so that the body will follow suit. So now you got all three in harmony, and that is what Christian growth is all about, and that's what God wants us to be. Sure, we fall short. Sure, sin tempts us. We're tempted by our own things that are weaknesses in our life. But if you will pray and ask God to allow that word to saturate your soul and get into your spirit, you won't get in as much trouble. Your body won't take you into those directions that it shouldn't. And you'll be able to make those clear decisions that God will be pleased with you with. This is the reason why we call this the threefold nature of man. And may you be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.